This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes Station, KUWS. Jack McKenna saying, back the attack. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Tuesday, December 19th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the latest urgent news from the Western Front in Europe. Rapid Ray is in with all the news about the champagne Green Bay Packers, and I have some infamous predictions, too.
Infamous predictions?
Oh, it'll be fun, Lou. Like this Western Union memo from about 1876 about the telephone. It said this telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. It has no value.
You've been reading?
Well, I got these from a placemat at the Black Cat. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Fort Hopkins Drugstore. They're having their annual Christmas gift sale, including a 14-piece toy army set for just 98 cents. And good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Nazis have stabbed more than 20 miles past the Belgium border in their new Western European offensive. We begin our world shortwave radio report from Paris.
This is Paris, France. Harrison Salisbury here. American GIs and tanks struck back today at the German armored power offensive. The German army has pushed 20 miles into Belgium since Saturday, creating a huge bulge in the Allied Western Front. The First Army is keeping pressure on the front lines near Cologne, but other areas remain in question. Supreme Allied Commander, General Dwight Eisenhower, has imposed a news blackout on the situation. The Germans were striking from Monschau to near Echternach and Aachen. The German onslaught is powered by massed reserves and powerful new vengeance weapons of an undisclosed type. This is seen as a risk-all drive by the Nazis. German Field Marshal Karl von Rundstedt knows that pushing such a deep wedge into Allied lines is tenuous. Berlin Radio says Hitler himself had planned this drive. This is only the second time a news silence has been ordered, and the first during an Allied reverse. It has a sobering influence. People here are waiting word on a fight that might prove the outcome of the whole Western campaign. In Paris, this is Harrison Salisbury, calling the U.S. First Army in Belgium. Come in, Max Jordan.
Hello, this is Max Jordan with the First Army in Belgium. This report is delayed one day. 3 months of liberation ended Monday for hundreds of Belgians caught in the path of the German counteroffensive. Monday night, the roads were lined with silent, resentful villagers watching the Americans retreat. Great long convoys rolled back to the west as hundreds of black-clad Belgians stand beside the roads in little groups. They aren't waving to the Americans anymore. For now, they wait for their Nazi occupiers. There is no denying the U.S. First Army is being forced to fall back. The Belgians know it, and many of them are fleeing westward, too. A few are ready to welcome the Germans back as liberators. Although the Germans have handed the U.S. First Army one of its worst setbacks, every indication is that this bulge will be sealed off in a matter of days. Any talk of Germans in Paris by Christmas is hogwash. But the little people who always suffer in the sweep of war are unhappy. After 3 months of liberation following 4 years of slavery, they wonder if the Americans will be back in time to save them. Several Belgian friends did come to say goodbye to us. Some even wanted to come along, but our jeep was fully loaded. Two women called out, "Eh bientôt," or "See you again." With the First Army in Belgium, this is Max Jordan calling the Pacific. Come in, Philippines.
This is General MacArthur's headquarters in the Philippines. Daryl Berrigan, your correspondent. America's easiest invasion job of the Pacific War went ahead full tilt on Mindoro in the central Philippines today. Surprised Yanks encountered no ground opposition as they pressed northward from the beachheads. Already they have seized airfields, bringing Manila within half an hour's flight. The bombing of Manila continues unabated. Admiral Chester Nimitz announced from Pearl Harbor that 742 Jap planes have been put out of action in the past 3 days, more than half of them during raids on Manila and elsewhere on Luzon.
Reports of successful fighting in the southern Philippine island of Leyte continues, but not without hard-fought opposition. General MacArthur is making it clear that they are advancing with the greatest care to minimize infantry losses. The invasion of Leyte began 2 months ago. The latest airdrome to be captured was at Valencia, 9 miles from the already captured Ormoc Bay. Somewhere in the Pacific, this is Daryl Berrigan calling the states. Come in, Washington.
This is Washington. D. Harold Oliver here. President Roosevelt returned from a 3-week vacation in Warm Springs, Georgia today. He was tanned and a few pounds heavier. FDR faces months of momentous decisions in the field of war and peace, not to mention organizing a new administration for his fourth term in office. Later this evening, President Roosevelt will hold a news conference from the White House. It will be his first since November 27th, when he announced the resignation of Secretary of State Cordell Hull. The commander-in-chief kept busy transacting business of state from his white cottage atop a pine mountain overlooking Warm Springs. He likes the therapeutic water there, which he uses as after-treatment of infantile paralysis. He joked with the villagers that he hoped to return in the spring if there were no war. In Washington, this is D. Harold Oliver speaking.
Prime Minister Winston Churchill told Commons today that he would postpone any more word on the military situation until after Christmas. All he will say is that a great battle is underway along the Western Front in Europe. America's top-ranking ace pilot, Richard Bong of Poplar, shot down number 40. The northern Wisconsin farm boy ran his string of Japanese air victims to 40 by blasting a fighter over Mindoro in the Philippines on Sunday. It was the second victory in a week for the Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He took advantage of a break in the weather, scurried up to a beachhead at Mindoro. That's where he picked up a Jap intruder, rode up on its tail, and sent it down in flames. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from Fort Hopkins.
Incredible, Lou. 40 now for the good major. You know, I think he'll shorten the war all by himself.
They might not let him fight much longer. Washington might think he'd be more useful on the home front and not risking his life in the Philippines.
Could be, Lou. It'd sure be nice to have him home to stay. Well, he could take advantage of the prices at Fort Hopkins right now. Hey, it's a last-minute clearance gift sale, folks. Listen to some of these bargains. Here's a scoop for you. Another hard-to-get item, but we have them. Long-filled Havana rolled cigars. While quantity lasts, 50 in a box for just $7.50, Lou. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I tell you, they go on and on with these things. Here, now, there's no excuse anymore for not writing to a serviceman, because they have deluxe stationery, 100 two-fold sheets, 80 envelopes for just $1.49. And don't forget those kiddies, folks, for Christmas. Here's a clown doll for $2.39. A stuffed doll for $1.39. A talking board, the Raja Mysterious Talking Board, 94 cents. And a little red schoolhouse book, too, for 39 cents. Don't forget the kids, folks. And don't forget Fort Hopkins.
We have a long list of casualties from Upper Wisconsin today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
As the battles rage around the globe, Lou, the price that families pay goes higher. Mr. and Mrs. Elmer Eklund of Hewitt Avenue were notified by the War Department today that their son was killed in action. Private First Class Earl Eklund was killed December 7th while fighting in France. The message said a letter would follow. The 21-year-old Private Eklund was in the infantry. He was a graduate of Superior Central High. Several local soldiers are reported casualties. Mrs. Angeline Ford of Hayward was told her son, Sergeant William Ford, was wounded. Private First Class Arden Heichel of Bayfield is listed as wounded, as is Private First Class Lloyd Lorien of Washburn. Also listed as wounded today is Private First Class Leonard Verville of Mason. Finally, news came that Private First Class Irving Taylor of Cable was wounded in France. Private Taylor's parents live in Namekagon Lake. He was in North Africa, Sicily, Italy, and the D-Day campaigns, Lou.
Thank you, Mike. A tentative agreement has been worked out between Douglas County and the City of Superior to house prisoners. The city will pay $1 a day for each prisoner housed and fed in the county lockup. Sheriff Elton Eckroth says this agreement is necessary since the county board voted to close the county work farm. The USS Midland will be launched at the Walter Butler Shipyard December the 23rd. Mrs. Walter Mitch, the daughter of Butler Shipyard President Robert Butler, will christen the ship. This will be the fifth ocean-going cargo ship launched at the Butler Shipyard in 3 weeks. And Jack and good listeners, employees at Butler will throw a Christmas party for 155 children of St. Joseph's Orphanage and the Superior Children's Home. The Butler Orchestra will play for the children tomorrow night in the shipyard's main cafeteria. They'll have ice cream, cake, candy, nuts, and presents for everybody. A large Christmas tree with colored lights has been erected for the kids. They'll have clowns, a magician, and, of course, Santa Claus.
I hope he's not the scary kind of Santa. Some of those guys can be pretty scary.
Was this a problem when you were little?
Well, being a good Santa is more than a few ho-ho-hos. Thanks, Lou Martin. Who moonlights as one of Santa's elves?
I do not.
Then what's with the curly feet shoes in your closet? Let's check that weather forecast for this Tuesday, December 19th, 1944. Cloudy with no decided change in temperature. Tomorrow's high will be 25 after a low tonight of just 14 degrees. It's music time, folks. Let's kick things off. With Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and Opus 1 on the Martin and McKenna Show. TD, Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra from the 1944 hit Parade. That's Opus 1 on station KUWS. The War Production Board is urging everyone to save their Christmas wrapping paper, folks. Many people put the paper in the fireplace, but this year, save it for salvage, for the war effort. Paper is desperately needed for war materials.
And I have a holiday message for Wisconsin Telephone Company people. Since there's a crush of long-distance use on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Wisconsin Telephone urges you to keep long-distance circuits clear for necessary calls to war-busy centers.
We all have to sacrifice for our boys overseas, Ayla. Now, friends, let's have some great music from Les Brown and his band of renown. With that new starlet, Doris Day. This is Barbara Allen on the Martin and McKenna Show. Les Brown and his band of renown with the singing of lovely Doris Day and Barbara Allen on station KUWS.
We have some important word from the Superior Fire Chief, Olaf Sorensen. Good evening, Chief.
Yeah, sure, Lord. Christmas trees and Christmas tree decorations are never fireproof guaranteed. We must remember that with the electricity running through those wires and on an unwatered Christmas tree with all those Christmas wrappings underneath the tree, why, it can be a fireman's worst nightmare for cry eye.
You don't think we should have Christmas trees?
Oh, no, Yak. I wouldn't say that, but we must be sure to water the tree regularly and check the Christmas tree lighting to make sure the wire insulation is good. And for cry eye, don't have none of those candles burning either. It's always a good idea to have a pail of water in the corner of the room, too, just in case.
The family dog would like that, too. With the water dish, that pail, and the toilet, Rover will have three places to get a refreshing drink of water. Thank you, Chief, for giving listeners these important safety tips.
I didn't stop by for the listeners. I stopped by to warn you two. I mean, for crying out, you are the biggest Christmas fire pups I ever did meet.
Jack does have some bad habits.
And so do you, Lou Martin. We've had fire calls to your place 2 years in a row. We've never seen so many Christmas candles burning.
Ha! And you say I've got bad habits.
But Harriet likes candles when she comes over.
And for you, Yak McKenna, one of my boys was over last year collecting for the Christmas toy drive. And thanks again for the Lincoln Logs.
You've got to get down on the floor to use those logs, you know. And getting up off the floor is getting tougher and tougher.
Well, sir, they say they've never seen such a Christmas tree before. The needles are in a pile on the floor, man. You never water the poor thing, for cry I.
You mean you have to water the tree?
Christmas trees aren't supposed to be bald. Thanks, Superior Chief Olaf Sorensen. Merry Christmas.
And here's a pointer, Lou. Women like mistletoe better than candles.
Ha ha! Lou's face now matches his hair. Ha ha! Rapid Ray is in next with the sports folks, and I've got some famous last words coming up, too. But let's hear this new number from Frank Sinatra with Tommy Dorsey, without all the girls screaming. And I'll be seeing you again on the Martin and McKenna Show. That's the latest from Frank Sinatra with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, and I'll be seeing you on the Martin and McKenna Show right here on KUWS. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with all the sporting news. Hi, Ray.
Hiya, Jake.
How about them Packers?
Well, how about them, sports fans? After a lapse of 5 years, the Packers of Green Bay socked it to New York on the Giants' own turf. 46,000 fans packed the Polo Grounds to watch their hometown heroes lose to the new champions of the National Professional Football League, Green Bay Packers, Sunday. The score was close, 14-7. In fact, the Giants threatened to tie it up at the very end, but Curly Lambeau's boys wouldn't budge. Fullback Ted Fritsch scored both Packer touchdowns, both coming in the second period. That second TD was a thing of beauty. Star receiver Don Hudson had just grabbed a 24-yard aerial from passer Irv Comp. So the Giant backs all covered Hudson on the next play, leaving Teddy Touchdown Fritsch all alone at the 11-yard line. He caught the pigskin, and he could have walked in for the score. In other sporting news, golfer Byron Nelson was named 1944's Athlete of the Year. The 32-year-old smooth-as-silk performer has averaged less than 70 strokes in 78 rounds of golf this year. Byron Nelson, who is 4F because of a blood condition, succeeds last year's winner, Swedish miler Gunder Hag. 79 sports writers gave 75 points to Mr. Nelson, just 5 points ahead of St. Louis Cardinals shortstop and National League Most Valuable Player, Martin Slats Marion, and 16 points ahead of Ohio State All-American quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner, Les Horvath. Ironically, Sammy Snead ended Byron Nelson's hold on first place finishes last weekend by winning first place in the Richmond Open. Slammin' Sammy won $5,000 in war bonds. And here at home, Fred Johnson paced the Marine Iron Bowling Team with a league-high 6-24 three-game series. Fred rolled a 192, a 194, and a 238 to help his crew beat Chef's Restaurant. Way to roll, Fred Johnson. And say, Jake, each player of the Green Bay Packers will be taking home $1,500 for winning the championship game. But weep not for the Giants. They'll each get checks for $833.
Wow. We should have been football stars, Ray.
Yeah. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Hey, Ray, how about some famous, or infamous, should I say, last words?
Like my preseason prediction that the Chicago Bears would win the championship?
Yeah, crazy stuff like that. How about this one from friends of David Sarnoff when he said he wanted to invest in radio in 1920? They told him, the wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?
You know, I knew hanging out at the Black Cat Cafe would help you someday.
Well, they do have the most informative napkins. On with the music, friends. Here's the Mills Brothers with the encouraging words of Till Then on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Till then, my darling, please wait for me. Till then, no matter when it will be, one day I know I'll be back again. Please wait till then. Our dreams will live though we are apart. Our love I know we'll keep in our hearts. Till then, when all the world will be free, please wait for me. Although there are oceans we must cross and mountains that we must climb, I know every gain must have a loss. So pray that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be. Till then, we'll call on each memory. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait till then. Although there are oceans we must cross and mountains that we must climb, I know every gain must have a loss. So pray that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be. Till then, we'll call on each memory. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait. Till then.
The melodic Mills Brothers and Till Then on Station KUWS. Say, Lou Martin has these news flashes just in.
From Stockholm, the newspaper there reports that Nazi Field Marshal von Rundstedt has been slightly wounded while inspecting the front lines of the German offensive. Meanwhile, 300 Flying Fortresses bombed Nazi supply lines in Belgium, Luxembourg, and Germany. From Moscow, Red Army troops swarmed over the Hungarian borders into Czechoslovakia today. They say the German defenses there are near collapse. And from London, former deputy for Rudolf Hess, in captivity in England since 1941, broke his leg while leaping over a banister during a brainstorm. Hess's mental condition has deteriorated over the past few months, in which he has had several of these brainstorms. Which is a good segue right to you, Jack.
How about this one from Gary Cooper, after he decided not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind? I'm just glad it will be Clark Gable who is falling on his face and not Gary Cooper, he said.
Well, I've got one, Jack. Who wants to hear actors talk? That was in 1927 from Mr. Warner of the Warner Brothers.
He may have had something, though.
Okay, Lou, your turn.
This is one of the first news stories that I ever read on the air in 1929 from a professor of economics at Yale. And he said stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's it, folks. Stay tuned for The Shadow. He knows. Burns and Allen and Milton Berle coming up tonight on your old Philco. And we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. And he is. For Lou Martin and Ray Paulson, then, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Duke Skorich. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.